Happy New Year, everybody. It's a new year. It's exciting to be together. You may have seen that video before, maybe one or two times. This is our chance to really understand vision. This is our Vision Sunday, and as our first Sunday of 2020. What an exciting time to be together. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited for this year. God is going to do some amazing stuff through our church, and I just want you to grab a hold of God's vision, really, for us. And so we have a couple of choices in this, is that we can kind of sit back and say, yeah, we get it. We're really not going to be participating in what God is doing. Or you have a choice of being involved and being a part and getting excited about what God wants to do through you here in our local church and throughout our whole area and beyond. And so it's exciting to talk about this, because this is really where I get really pumped up about, is talking about vision. And so kind of going back to some of the teens and what we experienced last week at the Follow Conference was just a tremendous thing, to see the future of the church. It really was. I mean, literally, I was standing there and just looking over the audience of these teenagers and just seeing these teens just give their lives to Jesus. And in mass, I'm just telling you, it was like a ton of them. Just giving their lives over. One of the things, I guess, Brad, I'll share too. One of the things that really was good for me, was important for me, was two things. First of all, I went to one of these when I was a kid. When I was younger, I went to a Follow Conference. They used to have them every 2 years. Now they have them every 4 years, and they've been doing this for the longest time. So it's just a beautiful thing. So when I was a kid, I was called to ministry at this conference. I was called to really extend my life and put it in the Master's hand. And one of the things that they did again this week was a beautiful thing. They invited these teens to open up their heart and to lay down their lives into whatever God called them to be. And that was a beautiful thing. So they had an opportunity to fill out a card, and they said, My yes is to Jesus, and then they would write it down. And so they would walk in front of a camera, and there was tons of huge, big screens, and they would write, and they would hold their card like this. And it was, I mean, I was brought to tears, because seeing these teenagers, these teenage girls, these teenage boys, they were saying, my yes is to being a godly teacher. And I was like, wow. Another one was, my yes was being a youth pastor. My yes was to be a godly police officer, you know. And it was just a beautiful thing to see God touching and calling these students' lives and changing their lives forever. Because I know he changed my life at one of these conferences too. And so it was such a valuable thing for us. And to look over and just to see, wow, that's the future of our church. That's the future of our church. And that these teenagers are being affected by so many things in the outside world. We try to shelter them from all of the things and all the dangers of this world, don't we? We like to try to shelter our kids and say, nope, you can't go here, you can't go here. We try to protect them, and if we could, we'd get a bunch of bubble wrap, and we'd duct tape bubble wrap around them and then say, here's the world. Don't get hurt. But you see, the fact is that whether we like it or not, the world is the world. And you can't bubble wrap kids, because you'd probably get put in jail. Fact is that the world is the world we live in, and we're not going to be able to change that. We're not going to be able to change sin. We're not going to be able to change people that are meant or there to hurt. But what we can do is allow God's Holy Spirit to change our children, and God's Holy Spirit to come in and change them forever. And so what we can do as a church, what we can do to support our youth group, Devin, Brad, Aaron, and Roxanne, Rachel, to really, really work at making these kids and our youth group successful is so vital, so important. So I just wanted to make sure I said that, because I was set ablaze. I was set ablaze by watching the future church worship and learn. And not just that, but, you know, our students here, they get embarrassed. Obviously, anybody would getting on stage. But one of the things that I saw was surrender and obedience to God. And that's a beautiful thing, because that's what God calls us to do. Is just surrender everything to him, to be obedient to him, and then live for him. And so as we think of that as adults, and children and teenagers and senior adults, as we think of what God is doing in our midst and what God wants to do with you, I get excited to talk about the vision of our church because we're called not just to sit. We're not called just to come into a Sunday morning church and sit here. We're called to be doers of the word, to be workers in the kingdom. And so I think about the New Year's. I think about, of course, you know, New Year's resolutions. Everybody has those. Or I made a resolution one year to never make resolutions because that's my resolution. I'm just over it. I don't need a resolution to try to change my lifestyle in the way that I want to live. And so, but I think it's good to think about your life, to look at the past year and to look at the future year or the next year and to see what we can do. And so when we think about what vision is a conscious, mental, and spiritual picture of a possibility of what we can become. Think about that. It's a mental, spiritual picture of a possibility of what we can become. And now when I'm talking about this, I want to bring us into context today of what I'm talking about. We're here as a church. And so there's two different contexts I want to talk about today is that you personally, number one, you personally, and then us as the we, as the church, as Dighton Wesleyan Church. So when I'm talking this morning, I want you to be continually reflecting personally. All right? I want to strike a chord within you today to take a look at you personally to say, what can I offer this next year to the kingdom of God? And then secondly, I want us to look as the we, as a church. What can we do as Dighton Wesleyan Church to completely shake the kingdom, to grow God's kingdom, and to please our Lord? And so that's our goal today. And so a conscious mental and spiritual picture of a possibility of what we can become. So when we think about this, I know that I'm a dreamer, and I've told you that before, and those of you who have been on boards and committees with me, you know I like whiteboards, right? I'm a dreamer. I'm a person who just take a whiteboard and just like, let's draw pictures. Let's vision. Let's what can we do in the future? What should we do? What is it that God's calling us to do? And so as we think about that, I think of ourselves as a church, that what is God calling us to do? How can we prayerfully consider where we're going? Without me giving you my opinion, I want to share with you a great great passage of scripture and a great story of an awesome man. An awesome man of God that is my hero, one of my heroes in the Bible. And I want you to try to figure out which person I'm talking about as we read. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. A little lengthy passage of scripture. You might need your binoculars to kind of take a look this morning, but it's worthwhile. I just want to share the story with you. Meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, capital W, the way of Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Verse 3, as Saul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard a sound, but did not see anyone. Verse 8, Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight. Verse 13, Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to you so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell off from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Awesome. Wow. Everybody say awesome. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what a great story. What a great story. Try to figure out my favorite character in the story. Try to figure out my favorite character in the story as we go on. You see, I believe that in this passage is a beautiful, beautiful transition of what God can do to a person. As we see Saul, this person who was evil, he was doing a crazy, crazy things wrong. But God in his mercy and his love had given him a vision, had blinded him, had shaken him up, and has decided to use him for his glory. So for those of you who don't know, but our vision for the church is simple. Jack, go ahead and throw up that vision statement, starting with love. Love, liberate, lead, and launch. And so we have this vision statement in our church that basically is a discipleship process. And this process is the fact that it just simply starts from point A to point Z. That's really where it is. And that's the discipleship process. First, we have to experience that love of God. Saul experienced the love of God. You see, it was interesting that we read that Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters in synagogues in Damascus so that if he found anyone who belonged, he could take him to prison. And so God in his mercy, he showed Saul love. He displayed mercy upon him because guess what? God could have struck him dead, right? Shake your heads yes if you believe it. God could have struck him dead right then and there and said, Saul, I'm tired of you. I'm sick of you. Done. Just done. You know, I thought it was interesting. Everybody see the Star Wars movies? The new one yet? Anybody see it? Okay, me and Johnny. Are we the only two Star Wars nerds? Thank you. So I found it interesting. Somebody help me remember what I'm talking about in a minute. Yeah. So I found it interesting in the first movies, when I grew up as a kid in the 70s, 80s, that when the guys got struck down with a lightsaber, what happened? Like, they just disintegrated and their clothes kind of fell down, signifying they were dead. This movie, like 2019 version, these people were just disintegrating into nothing, right? I mean, like, they'd get shot and all of a sudden, boom, they'd just go away. I thought that was interesting. What am I talking about? Oh, Saul. I think God, if he wanted to, could have done like 2019 Star Wars movies and just went, boom, done, you're out of there in a flash. God has the power to do so. God had every right to do so, to protect his people, to protect the people of Israel, to say, Saul, I'm tired of you. I'm sick of you. Poof, you're gone. You're just done. None of this pretty little 1970s Star Wars stuff, when you get hit by a lightsaber, your clothes just kind of melt and you still stay there. You only understand that if you've seen Star Wars. See, God had the power to do so. God had every right to say, Saul, you're done. But in God's love and in God's mercy, he spared him and said, Saul, I'm going to try to get your attention one way or the other. Stop doing what you're doing. And so God distributed love and displayed love for Saul. How many times as Christians have we seen non-Christians just say, oh, God, I wish you just wiped that person off the face of the earth. I don't like that person. That person made me mad or that person offended me. Or let's be serious, and that person, maybe that person raped you. Maybe that person murdered your brother or sister. Or maybe that person has stolen something from you. Let's be serious. Let's be honest with one another. How many times have you wished somebody dead? Like, God, can you just get rid of that person? You see, we as Christians, we put on this garment of love through Jesus Christ, and we say, Lord, How can we show love? How can we show love and forgiveness? How can we display love, mercy, and grace to those people who are in need? And so that's the first L of our vision as a church, is to love each other, to love people who don't deserve it, to love those people who don't belong to us, to love people who don't look like us, to love people who don't dress like us, to love people who smell, to love people who swear, to love people who are having sex outside of marriage, to love people who are gay and lesbian, to love people is who and what we're called to be. And so we have to understand this morning that the first part of our vision for this next year is to love on people. And then I love this part. I love this part. Saul needed help, didn't he? He was blind. He needed help. He needed guided. God provided him a mentor, a discipler. And if you want to know who my favorite person in the story is, it's not just Saul, it's Ananias. Ananias was this man who simply was in tune with God's Spirit. He was in tune with the Holy Spirit, and he simply said, God, yes, what do you need from me right now? What is it that you are calling me to do? And I love it. He's like, you got to go to this guy named Saul of Tarsus, and Ananias knew exactly the lion's den in which he was going into. Verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to all the people of Israel. Jumping through verse 18, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. Right after Ananias put his hands on Saul, he could see again. You see, this is that second L. This is the second L, is liberate. Liberate. You see, Saul was bound in sin. Saul was bound, and he was bound and blinded. And so God used Ananias. God used Ananias to liberate him, to set him free. And it's a beautiful thing. And so as we as Christians, as we as a church, now again, two people in here today we're talking to, right? We're talking to us personally, and then us as a church together. And so for us as a church, we need to be that agent of change. You need to be that agent of change. If God calls you to do something, if God has put somebody in your life that you see that they're bound in sin, they're bound in tradition, they're bound in poverty, they're bound in some sort of chain that the world has placed upon them, it is up to us to say, Lord, yes, what is it that you are asking me to do? Can I help you, God? Bring liberation to people who are bound, lost, dying, whatever word you want to use. You see, God liberated Saul. God liberated him, and it was a beautiful thing. And so nextly, in our vision statement, is lead. So we see love, liberate, and then lead. You see, when what happened after Ananias put his hands upon his eyes and like scales fell from Saul's eyes, restoring his sight, Ananias didn't just go, hey, dude, high five, see ya, good job, you're on your way. You know, Ananias didn't just say, wow, that was good, I just healed a guy and made him be able to see again, see ya. No, guess what? Ananias took him to the next level. He led him, he discipled him, he baptized him. He said immediately something like scales fell off from his face, and then he went to that next level and baptized him. So there's this beautiful progression. If you don't see it, you have to read this again. There's a beautiful progression of discipleship taking place with Saul. And so we as a church need to be practicing the progression of discipleship in our church. You personally need to be practicing this progression of discipleship. I mean, how many people in here can say, and don't raise your hand, but how many people can you say you're actively leading someone in the faith? How many people are you saying, I'm like Ananias, where I'm able to lead somebody who is really, really young in the faith, lead them into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ? Yeah, I know, I hear you. You didn't say anything. I hear ya. I mean, that is our calling, church. That is our mission, is to lead people, is to guide them, is to mentor them, is to coach them into the faith. And yet, oh, I better not say that. I'm passionate about this. I really feel strongly that the word of God is true for us as a church, that this is so true for us, that we need to be about discipleship as a church, leading others into the salvation message, leading others into growth, coaching people into where they need to be in the faith. And we're doing a lousy job of it. We're doing a lousy job of it. So this isn't to beat you up. This is a vision statement. This vision is what we want to see us become. We need to work hard at being a church that loves people, that allows God to use us to liberate their sin, liberate them, get them out of the trap they've been in for so long, and then lead them, usher them, coach them into greatness in the kingdom, as we see Ananias did. And then the last one is launch. So not only can Ananias be like, he could have done this really cool thing. Ananias could have did like a lot, like I would have done. Let me just admit, I would have done this. This is what I've done. Saul, man, you're God's chosen? That is so cool. Let's start a church. And you come to my church, and we'll just hang here for a little bit, and we'll just bring people, and we'll tell them about the vision, the healing. We'll, Saul, you just hang right here, and we'll just build this church right here, and we'll affect 200 whole people, like 200 of us, man. We'll bring the masses. That's what I would have done, right? I mean, I'm just telling you honestly. Ananias didn't do that. He's like, Saul, I did my job. Get out of here. Get out of here. There's disciples that can do things that I can do. I did my job. Go. You go hang with the disciples a little bit. They'll talk to you a little bit. They'll train you up. And you go now do what God has called you to do. You see, when God gives us a burden, something inside of us begins to change. You see, I want to share this with you. A vision can only develop from a God-given burden. A vision can only develop from a God-given burden. So church, I'm not sure if you've got a burden. If you don't have a burden, you got to get one. If you don't have a burden, you got to pray for one. Say, God, what is it that you're calling me to do? What is it that, how can I launch? Remember I said we're talking to two different people here today. We're talking to you personally, me. So what can I do to launch? And we're talking as a crowd, as a congregation. What can we do as Dighton Wesleyan Church to launch? We got to get off of 1/30th, people. We got to get out of here. What can we do to launch? Ananias would have just said, hey, just hang out. Or no, I'm sorry. I would have said, let's just hang out. Let's just plant a church right here. We'll pull up a nice building. Paul or Saul, you can preach all the time. That's good. Ananias said, go, get out. And Saul did that very thing. And as if you know, I mean, for those of you who may not know, Saul's name was turned to Paul. That's why I keep slipping. Jesus did an amazing thing with Saul because Saul, being Paul, was transformed and Paul wrote almost half of the New Testament and won so many souls for Jesus. He was an absolute, the most amazing missionary known to man today. So you see, if Paul had to stay there and with Ananias and the clan, he may have affected 200 people. But Paul, through his writings, through his beatings, through his imprisonment, through his Holy Spirit filled lifestyle, is still affecting people today. Wow, that's pretty awesome. So, a vision can only develop from a God-given burden. I read this as we think of love, liberate, lead, launch. I want you to really feel like focusing on you for a minute. Where are you in the process? Like really, where are you? Maybe you're at number one. You're still working on loving people. Maybe you just can't stand people. Maybe people have hurt you in the past. Maybe you're still at number one, and you just need to like, yeah, I need to get to that point of being liberated. Maybe you're a non-Christian in here today, and you don't know who Christ is. You don't know who Jesus is. You don't know the forgiveness of sin, and you need to be liberated from your sin. You need to be liberated from the old habits and lifestyle that you're used to. Maybe you're in here today, and you're at number two. Maybe you've gotten past number one and number two, love, liberate, but yet you've been stuck. I'm a saved, born-again Christian, been a part of this church for years and years, but I've never led anybody. Never. Maybe you're here today, you're like, man, yeah, a couple people have come to the Lord through my ministry or through me talking, but have you ever mentored anybody? Have you ever discipled anybody? Have you ever walked the journey with somebody, bringing somebody into the kingdom with you? Maybe you're stuck between liberate and lead. Maybe you've been a Sunday school teacher. You've been on the board at the church for a long time, and you've led people, and you've had that leadership, but maybe you've never ever personally launched yourself into something new and great and awesome. Maybe you've never really understood your gifts, your spiritual gifts. Maybe you don't even know why you exist on this earth. And you're kind of staying back because Dighton has always been the place of security and safety. We've always gone to Dighton. We've always been in Dighton. Tustin is my home. I mean, maybe you need to say, God, do I need to be launched to start something new for the kingdom? I love this quote. I have it on my cell phone. I wish I had it on me right now. Jack, throw that last slide up. Someone somewhere is depending on you to do what God has called you to do. Whew. Read that again. Focus on it. Let it just... Someone somewhere is depending on you. Not me, not the pastor. No. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Someone somewhere, I don't know where that is for you. Someone somewhere is depending on you to do what God has called you to do. What has God called you to do? I mean, who has God called you to be? Who and what how has God equipped you for the ministry that he's called you to do? Because guess what? Someone somewhere is depending on that. Now, for me, I have that on my phone. Like, what's that called? Homepage or whatever. I don't know, home screen. Sorry, Brad, I don't mean to look to you, but home screen, whatever, you know, you open your phone up, that quote is right there for me, because guess what that does? That motivates me. Every time I look at my phone, I say, oh yeah, I better get busy, because someone somewhere is depending on me, because God's called me to do something for someone. He's not just called me to be a pastor just because it's fun. You know what I mean? He's called us as a church, called us to do something. He's depending on us. So now switch from you personally now to a church. Dighton Wesleyan Church, guess what? He's created us for such a time as this. He's depending on us as a church to do something for someone or someones, if that's a word, probably not, for what God has called us to do. And so what we need to be doing as a church this year is, I'm so excited because we're gonna lean into this, to this love, liberate, lead, and launch, to figure out what it is that we need to be doing as a church to making sure that we're in God's will. And so today, I wanted to encourage you today. I hope this is encouraging. I don't want us to always leave like, oh man, Pastor Jim, man, he's just... Woo, I feel like garbage now. No, this is not to make you feel like garbage. This is here to for us to be motivating, to be equipped to what God has for us. So I'm excited. So we're going to be doing a bunch of different fun stuff this year, equipping. I need your help. It's part of the body of Christ.